did Kelly want to know? I can. Okay, so that's going up. Okay, so that's going to be up there. So I.
It's actually going now.
So can you have that up there when we go into the offering time?
Yes. Let me add it to that's. Let me add it at offering. Where's with offering? What's the name of the section there? Worship and giving. There we go. Instead of children's church, we'll insert this image. Got that ready.
Okay.
Is this streaming, Abe?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I won't change it then.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good?
Yeah.
All right. That's great. Jerry says he hears your conversation.
Okay, I hear.
Well, my mic, yes, thank you.
Our mic.
Everyone can hear us right now, so it's okay. You'll hear it as normal, all right? So, I know. So let's just go to...
So as we open this morning, Kaylee Troyer and Sarah Waddell have been very gracious to lead us in an opening song. So wherever you are right now, we just encourage you, join as we sing this song together, although we're apart.
Pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
voice of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless king, to you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in.
Good morning. We're going to work out some details together, and we'll get this right. Praise God that we have these technologies. So good morning. I'm sure most of you watching right now know me, but for those who don't, I'm Kelly Larson, the senior pastor here at Cornerstone. I say here at Cornerstone, but that isn't really true this morning, is it? It isn't true because you are not here, and you are Cornerstone. We've grown accustomed over the years to hearing that the church is not a building, but a people. And I'm sure that most of us know this to be true, yet this morning we all feel it to be true. As I stand here looking out over seats that should be filled, I feel the emptiness. I know you're out there. I know you're with me here in spirit. But God did not design us to meet this way. He did not design his church to gather this way. I can't tell you how grateful I am that we have the ability to live stream this service so that we can be together in some sense. That is truly an amazing gift from God, an amazing blessing, a needed blessing in an uncertain time. But as amazing as this is, this can never replace the gathering together of God's people face to face. There can never be a virtual body of Christ, a virtual community. Christ came in a real body, and his body is still real, as it is composed of the real flesh and the real blood of his real people who love one another and long to be with one another so that they may worship together, not only in the unity of spirit, but in the joy of real presence, real community. What grieves me most right now is that as we descend into an unfamiliar valley, where the shadows of darkness and death may darken around us, I cannot be with you as I would want. My heart hurts that I cannot greet you as you come into this place and see you as I speak and greet you again as we part for a short time. I am grieved that we cannot be together in this place or any place for that matter. I imagine that to some small degree, we are all feeling what it must have been like for those exiled Israelites who longed for the sights and smells and sounds of temple worship, who yearned to be together in the house of the Lord with their fellow countrymen and fellow followers, to feel the unexplainable reality of an in-person community, the incomparable comfort of corporate communion. You clearly know by now that I and the other elders of Cornerstone had to make that most difficult decision to suspend our in-person services and all of our ministry activities, at least through the end of this month, in keeping with the wise counsel of the CDC and our governing authorities, as an act of love for you as our cherished family and for our community as our near neighbors. We have been commanded to love one another, and it would be unloving, even potentially dangerous, to recklessly gather or even to needlessly move about a community, not knowing if we are spreading a virus that could bring another's life to an end. This in no way is a capitulation to fear. We will not let fear govern us. But there is a difference between foolish faith and thoughtful trust. One is reckless, the other righteous. One is careless, the other caring. We are told by the Lord not to forsake our gathering together, and we are resolute to obey this command. We long to do so. But it is not a forsaking of the gathering when we would all gladly gather were it prudent and loving to do so. And I am confident that you, more than ever, wish you could be here now, together with your church family, joining in a chorus of worship. And I am guessing that this desire will only grow the longer we are apart. And we will gather together again, soon, just as soon as it is safe and prudent and loving to do so. We are in uncertain times, uncharted waters. We don't know what's around the next bend. This means that there are great and building temptations to worry and despair. But God has been preparing us for this. He has been gracious to us, giving us what we need, reminding us of who He is and what He has done and what He has promised. And He will continue to protect and preserve us. He is our captain, and He will guide our ship safely through these dark waters. Though I grieve that I can't be with you, I know that Jesus, our good shepherd, is with you. He has not left you. He will never leave you. In these days, let's remember that our mission has not changed. The daily rhythms of normal life may have changed. Our methods of communication and travel may change. But God hasn't changed, and His gospel hasn't changed. He still calls us to go and make disciples, however that may be done. We still have the duty to declare and display the gospel. And these times may even serve to fertilize the soil for gospel seeds to be planted more productively. In the meantime, we will be working hard to connect with you and to encourage and instruct you. We will use every means we know or will yet discover to communicate with you. So look for emails, check our YouTube channel and Facebook, anticipate a phone call or text message. In the same way, we urge you to look for ways to connect with others in your church family. Use the amazing means of communication God has given us to pray with others, to encourage others, to comfort others. We've encouraged small group leaders to continue meeting via video call or Zoom. If you're not part of a small group now and would like to join one, let Pastor Roger or me know. If you have any needs arise in the coming days, please let us know so that we may love you and serve you. There are many in our body who desire and are able to help. As you think of all, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul's words to the church of Colossae. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Father, for the way in which we can gather apart from one another this morning. Lord, we know that this is not the way that you intend it. And we look so forward to that day when we'll be present together with one another, worshiping you. But Lord, in the meantime, may you be glorified. May you encourage and comfort your people. May you prove yourself to be faithful again in keeping with your great name as we worship you in this way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue with a call to worship. We're going to read scripture together. And then as we normally would do, we're going to continue in singing. Psalm 95, 1 through 7 says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Come, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. What an amazing time to remember that God is our Redeemer and our Healer. And He is the one who meets us in the middle of our sickness. But it's also an incredibly important time to remember that the sickness that we most fear ought to be the sickness of soul, ought to be a sickness that may find us apart from Christ. But in Him, we have hope. He's the Healer, He's the Redeemer of that sickness. Psalm 55, 1 through 3 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." Selah. There are many reasons for us to fear today. And there are many reasons for us to be in despair today. As we come before a holy God, I think it's only right that we pause and we take a moment to contemplate our fundamental weakness, our fundamental brokenness before Him. We fall so very short of His glory, and it's right that we confess that need, and that need most of all to be forgiven of the sins that we've committed, and to pray for healing upon our souls and upon the souls of our whole nation and upon the world. So we're going to take just a moment. I'm going to ask you where you are right now to just take a moment, close your eyes, and just meditate, contemplate, and consider your great need, and then I'll close this time in prayer. Well, Father, as there is the very real risk of sickness spreading among us, there is reason to be concerned for one another. There is reason to take care of one another and of ourselves. But Lord, the greatest sickness over which you have come to conquer is not the sickness of a virus, but the sickness of sin that is the cause, the underlying cause of that virus and of all disease, all pestilence, all violence, all that would take our lives. Lord, death reigns in this world because sin reigns in this world yet. But Lord, you've conquered it. You have conquered sin, and you have removed the sting of death because of the great and powerful work that you did on the cross of your Son. And Lord, it's that cross that we come to now, and it's that blood that was shed from there now that we plead. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us our sins. And Lord, that you would be at work in the hearts and the souls of those around us in our community and throughout our nation and around the world, calling them to repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and the true healing that can only come through you. Father, we pray these things, knowing that you are at work now to accomplish all of your good purposes and to advance your kingdom as you see fit. And we pray in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to continue as we celebrate the assurance that we have in our faith as Kaylee reads scripture and then leads us in continued singing.
No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus knows our every weakness.
Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken.
Oh,
and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for.
An old rugged cross. What an amazing hope that we have, that we can cling to the truth, the reality, the hope that was purchased for us there. We're going to try to maintain as much familiarity as we have, and so we're going to just continue working through our catechism together. And so as we share this morning, we're looking at question 7. What does the law of God require? And so as normally you would be here and you would recite the answer with me. I know that you're at home or wherever you are. You may be with your family, you may be with friends, wherever you are. We would encourage you, wherever you are, even if you're alone, to recite this along with me as I read the answer. Personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience. That we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. What God forbids should never be done, and what God commands should always be done. And the scripture associated with this passage is from Matthew chapter 22. verses 37 through 40. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." As we think about the great faith that we have, as we think about the hope that we have in Christ, as we think about a cross where our lives were purchased, that cross also purchases for us an entryway into the very presence of God. Now, he's always present with us, but we can come into his presence in prayer. And so if you would bow with me wherever you are and join with me as I pray and lead us into the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that this morning, as we gather in a very small number in this building, Lord, there are people gathering in spirit all around this nation, who have gathered all around this world for the singular purpose of worshiping you, for the purpose of, in whatever way we can, to come into your presence. And Lord, we recognize that we can only do this, we can only truly enter into your presence because of a rugged cross where a life was laid down, where blood was shed. But Lord, because that truth exists and because it's real for us, we have the ability to pray, to come before you. And so we do. Lord, this is a time where prayer is much needed. And we plead with you, we cry out to you, Lord. We're surrounded by what it seems to be great peril and great risk and great uncertainty. But Lord, we are so grateful that you know tomorrow. You know what lays ahead. You are on your throne. You are sovereignly in control, and you are all powerful, and you are wise, and you are faithful, and we can trust you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who's watching this now. I just want to lift them up to you. Lord, many of them know you. Some of them may not. But Lord, for those that know you, I pray that the knowledge of you would grow in their hearts. For those that don't know you, Lord, may they take this time now to turn to you, to explore, to discover, to learn who you are, so that they might have hope in Christ as well. Father, I want to pray for our church. Lord, I want to pray especially for those who are most vulnerable among us. Lord, we pray that you would protect them. And we know that protection only comes from you. You are the one who preserves our lives. But Lord, we lift them up to you and just ask, Lord God, that not only would you preserve and protect them, Lord, but that you would help us as a church to know how to care for them and love them. Lord, I want to pray especially for Justin and Sherry Halbjawaks, who are traveling to Chicago for treatment. Lord, times of like this are difficult to travel, perilous to travel. We want to pray also for Kay Mainz and for Kurt, who are at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Lord, both are there for medical reasons that have a need for them to be there now. But Lord, in these times, it's right that we lift them up in particular to you as they travel away from our community, even further away than we are from one another now. Father, I want to lift up also all of our medical professionals, all of those who are serving in our hospitals, the nurses, the CNAs, the doctors, the surgeons, the staff, the janitors, all of those who make these things function for us. Lord, we, in many places around this nation, even now, those medical systems are being burdened and are being nearly broken. Father, we plead with you. May you and your power restore and help. And Father, we pray for our first responders who still need to respond to all of those things that may happen, for those who are in desperate need now. Father, we lift them up to you and we pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them and protect them. And Father, we want to pray for our president. We want to pray for all of his leadership, every cabinet member, every person, especially those who are involved in the efforts to overcome this virus and also to preserve and to protect our economy. Lord, we just pray for wisdom. We pray for insight. Lord, we want to pray for all of our governing authorities, our state governors and all of our state officials, all the way down to the city here in Kearney. We lift them up to you and ask, Father, for wisdom, for courage, for guidance. And Lord, we ask that you would raise up some means of overcoming this. Lord, we've heard of potential virus or cures or of vaccinations. But Lord, you're in control of all of that. We pray that you would bring those things about. But Lord, those aren't our hope. While we hope that you will do that, Lord, we hope ultimately in you. And Father, I want to pray, especially right now, for those who are suffering here and around the world, who are suffering right now in perhaps new and different ways than we had anticipated just months ago. I lift them up to you, and Lord, I pray that the comforting hand of your Spirit would be upon them. Comfort all of our souls now as we suffer in each of our own various ways. Lord, we look to you. We trust, Lord, that you are faithful. You will provide. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, normally at this time, I would ask the ushers to come forward. Obviously, we're not going to do that. But giving is still an important part of what we do. And it's an important part of what we do because giving is an act of worship. It's separated away from the practical functions that we have in place. It's something that we do out of a heart of gratitude, knowing that God has given us all things. And perhaps more than ever, for a whole variety of reasons, that giving is even more important today. Many of us will be called upon to sacrifice a great much as we go forward. And so we want to encourage you to continue to worship the Lord in your giving. Now, we've sent out information to you. We've given you an email that gives particular information, and there are online giving options that we've created now. Of course, it's still possible for you to send us a check with the good U.S. mail. You can do online bill pay. You can either simply send your check directly to the church using our address here that you've been given, or you can do that online giving. You can access that safe and secure method by clicking on the donate or online giving button, which is located on our homepage at the church website. The online giving option is available through Church Center, which also offers a mobile app. So you can use all of these things. And if you have any questions at all, let us know. We want to help you do this. But one thing that we don't want to do, we don't want to miss the idea or to misunderstand what giving is. It's an act of worship. And so to help understand this or to drive that point home, I'm just going to take a moment and ask each of us, regardless of whether you've already given or whether you will, to stop for a moment and pause and let's contemplate and actually worship in the act of giving, because that's what this is. So I'm going to take just a moment and give you an opportunity to quietly do that at home, and then I'll close that in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. You have told us that it is better to give than to receive. Lord, you have given us all things. Lord, as we look at the world around us, Lord, there are many losses of many different kinds. But Lord, we've come into this world without anything, and we're going to leave without anything. Everything that we have is yours. You're free to give or to take. And Lord, we know that you are sovereign in that you are good in that, and we trust you. But it is still our duty, Lord, to give out of worship to you. And so, Lord, as we do that, however we do that now, Father, may you encourage our souls as we unhitch ourselves from the temporal values of this world. And as we remember again that our dependency is upon you, not upon a savings account, not upon a 401k, not upon even a job. But Lord, we are dependent upon you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we are going to enter into our time of worship in the preached word. So I'm going to grab a stand here. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Psalm chapter 138. I know that we have been in Deuteronomy, and we have, I think, been greatly blessed as we've worked through Deuteronomy together. But as I have spent time in this last couple of weeks actually wrestling in my own soul, I found myself in Psalm 138 again and again. And this psalm has been an amazing comfort to me. And given the circumstances we're in, I thought it would be wise for us to pause out of Deuteronomy and go to this psalm that can give us hope, that can give us help in troubled times. I'm amazed at how much and how gracious God has been preparing us for this time. As I look back over the messages that we have shared together in, it's just astounding to me how the Lord has guided those messages in anticipation of a time when we would need to overcome fear, where we would need to be prepared for trial. God has been amazingly gracious, and I'm confident that He will continue to manifest His graciousness to us. So as we think about the first three verses this morning from Psalm 138, we're going to be talking about what it means to be resolved by faith in the face of fear. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on fear, folly, or faith. And in that message, I talked about the pervasive fear that is in our world. As I looked back on that, it struck me how much those things that were said then, how many of those fears that we identified together as a church are actually real and present for all of us today. So just to review some of them, we talked about a fear of sickness, disease, and disability. Well, we're certainly in a time where there's great fear of sickness. We talked about a fear of death and dying, and as we look around the world, there is much death and dying even as we speak. We talked about a fear of losing a job, a friend, a child, a spouse, and even in our own midst, there are those who have lost their jobs, and there are many around the world who have lost their dear ones. We talked about the fear of financial ruin. And as our government officials attempt to forestall even further damage to our economy, there is great fear of financial ruin for many. We talked about the fear of change. And my goodness, there has been much change, and there will continue to be change around the corner. We talked about the fear of loneliness, and in a period of isolation, in a period where we're actually told to isolate and where it's good to isolate, That fear of loneliness, the fear of separation is even that much greater. We talked about the fear of the future. And boy, none of us knows what tomorrow brings. If the last few days have not helped us to do anything, they've surely helped us to realize that each day has enough trouble of its own. And that tomorrow, there's no point in worrying about it because things can change so dramatically. We just don't know what the future is going to bring. There is pervasive fear, and I imagine that there is great temptation for you, just as there's great temptation for me to be fearful in times like this. But the Lord hasn't left us in this place. He hasn't given us, He's given us resources. He's given us a means to come into an understanding of His presence and His power so that we can overcome those fears. But we need to resolve to do that by faith, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we read through Psalm 138, 1 through the whole chapter, and then we'll come back through verses 1 through 3. So follow along as I read. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord. When they have heard the words of your mouth, they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for the great is the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Let's pray as we continue to think about these things together. Father, I need your help right now as I preach to a virtually empty room. Lord, you know what challenge that is to me. Lord, I am trusting in your great grace to help me communicate well to your people now. And I'm praying for everyone who is or will listen to this, Lord, that you would stir in their souls faith. And that you would help us to resolve to face our fears with faith, to help one another do this, and to depend upon you as our great stronghold, our fortress, our great tower. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our theme this morning is this. In a world filled with uncertainty, we must resolve to help one another face our fears with faith. So the world is, as we've said, is already filled with uncertainty. It was before. It's just more real to us now. And in this uncertainty, we must resolve to help one another and to help one another face our fears with faith. And so we need to be resolved by faith in the face of fear. And so as we resolve to do this, we need to resolve first and foremost to give thanks. So collectively, we will say, I will give thanks. I will give thanks. And so in our passage, in those first three verses, we read again, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. But did you catch that? I will give you thanks. What David the psalmist is saying is a statement of resolution. I will give you thanks. I will praise your name. I will resolve in faith to give you thanks. So we are resolved to give thanks, but resolved to give thanks with my whole heart. With my whole heart. David says, I will give you thanks with all of my heart, or with my whole heart. And as we think about what it would mean to give God thanks with our whole heart, we see or we can realize that that has to take shape in our whole inner being, which is comprised of three things. Thanksgiving with the whole heart must be thanksgiving with your mind first and foremost. What you think about, what you ponder, what you lie at bed at night wondering about in your mind. Are you thanking the Lord with your mind? Are you giving him praise with your mind? We must resolve to take our thoughts captive with the truths of the word. We must resolve to take our thoughts captive to say, I will give thanks. There already have been, many reasons to despair. There have already been many losses that will tempt us to be ungrateful, to be tempted us to be discontented, and yet the scriptures hold out to us a hope that's greater than all of these things. And so with our minds, we must take hold of those truths, and with our minds, we must give thanks. And that will lead to us giving thanks with our emotions. Your emotions are going to follow your mind. Your emotions are going to grab hold of your mind and your thoughts and follow them. Take your thoughts down the paths of thanksgiving and your emotions will follow behind. But your emotions have the power to take control even of your mind if you let them. So with your whole heart, with your whole inner being, with your emotions, give thanks to the Lord. Praise his holy name. And with your will, choose to do that which is out of thanksgiving. Choose to speak out loud, to tell one another, be thankful. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Be thankful with a whole heart. Give praise to the Lord with a whole heart. So we're resolved to give thanks with my whole heart. And we're resolved to give thanks to your name, is what the psalmist says. To the great name of our God. He says, I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the God. I will bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name. He says this because the name of God reveals his nature and indicates his character. Again and again through Scripture, we're told about the name of God. We're told to give thanks to the name and praise the name of God. And we're told those things because his name reveals his nature. I am. I am that I am. He is the one who has always existed. He is the self-existent one, and he is the only one who exists in and of himself. And all things flow out of him. So this world and all that is in it, it's here, and it stands because of who he is, and who he is revealed by his name. But his name also indicates his character, character of love, character of faithfulness, character of kindness and compassion. We give thanks to him for who he is. And so when the psalmist says we give thanks to his name, that's what we're thinking. We're thinking of who God is, and that's how we give him thanks. So I'm resolved to give thanks with my whole heart. I'm resolved to give thanks to your name. And I'm resolved to give thanks for your loving kindness, your faithfulness, and your word. The psalmist says, I will give thanks to your name. I will give thanks for your loving kindness. And that word loving kindness in the Hebrew is hesed. And it refers to God's covenant love. As we've talked over the last week or more, we've been talking about this great covenant into which God has entered into this great relationship with us. He loves his people. And that love for his people is manifested by him covenanting together with them and saying, I love you. I will be your God. I will be your people. And so we give thanks to that loving kindness of God, that love that flows out of his desire to be in relationship with us, to be in relationship with you. And he is the one who has made that relationship possible. We give thanks for the loving kindness of God and his covenant love that is most manifested in the cross of Christ, where he purchased for you and me this reality of being in relationship with him, where he purchased you and me as his people. And he brought us into a relationship with him built upon a covenant love. But we also give thanks, as the scriptures say, to your truth. Now, probably the better translation of that is for your faithfulness. That is his faithfulness to his covenant love. And we've talked about the faithfulness of God. He won't fail. And in these difficult times, it is so important, not only that we believe that he won't fail, but we give thanks to him because he won't fail. Give thanks. Resolve in your heart to thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you. And help others to do that. And then, I will give thanks for you have magnified your word. You have magnified your word. God is a revealing God. He's a speaking God, and he's chosen to speak to us and tell us about who he is. But most important, what he's told us is his promises. In fact, in the context, that's probably most what David is referring to. He says, for you have magnified your promise to us. And so it's the promise of God that we cling to. It's the promise of God that we hope in. And it's the promise of God that we are resolved to give him thanks for. What is that promise? The promise of hope in Christ. The promise that life in Christ is eternal. This physical life is temporal. It could be taken at any moment. But God has made a promise to us that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that means that he will always preserve your life. So our resolution of faith together should be this. In a world filled with loss, we will resolve to help one another give thanks to our God. Let's do this together, especially in these times. Let's resolve together in this world filled with loss to help one another give thanks to our God. So resolve by faith in the face of fear, and we say, I will give thanks, and then we say, I will worship. I will worship. I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Here again, we see a resolution to worship. We're resolved to worship. I will sing. and again, I will bow down. These are words of worship. They're words of adoration. And we're resolved to worship first and foremost in defiance of false gods. In defiance of false gods. Notice that the psalmist says, I will sing praises to you before the gods. Now, he does not mean in any way that his worship, that his singing and his praise is directed toward those gods, but rather it is a defiant devotion in the midst of all kinds of false gods of his culture and his world. David was writing in the context of Canaanite gods surrounding them in a world filled with idols and idol worship. But we're no different. We're surrounded by gods. In fact, in this time of trouble, in this time of heat, this heat that we're in boils up in us those things that we truly value and worship. Our gods come to the surface. But as followers of Christ, in defiant devotion, we resolve in our hearts to worship in defiance of all of those other false gods and to stand against them and to put them away and to help one another put away our gods and to worship the one and only true God. So we resolve to worship in defiance of false gods, and we're resolved to worship with songs of praise. As I've said in the past, it's so important that we sing. And that's why we sang together this morning, even though we weren't together, because songs of praise are important. We're resolved to sing. I will sing. And I will sing praises to you. We serve and worship the one true God. And we resolve in our hearts to worship that one true God in singing. And may I suggest to you that in times like this that are difficult, singing together will be that salve to your soul. It'll serve you in a time of suffering. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to Him. Do that with each other. And even in on your own. So resolve to worship in defiance of false gods. We're resolved to worship with songs of praise. And we are resolved to worship in a posture of dependence. A posture of dependence. He says, David says, I will bow down. I will bow down. Well, what does he mean by this? Well, in this context, the act of bowing is an act of humble dependence. We are dependent upon our God. Now, when I say that we will resolve to worship in a posture of dependence, I'm not referring to the actual posture that you take, but the posture of your heart. Have you humbled your heart? Do you see the dependence that you are living in right now under this great God? And so this bowing down before the Lord and toward His temple is an act of humble dependence upon this God that we serve. So worship from this posture in your heart of humble dependence upon God. He says, I will bow down. And He says, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Now, He's in anticipation of the temple being built, because the temple had not yet been built by David, but He anticipates that. But there was the tabernacle and the place of worship. And for all future generations, for those after Solomon, they could think of that temple. And as we alluded to earlier, of those Israelites who were in exile, they would think of that temple and bow toward it. We no longer bow toward a physical temple. There is no place, even this building. If there's been anything that we realize today and that's been reinforced to us today, is that this building is certainly not the temple of God. We don't bow down toward a physical temple. We bow to the true and living temple of God, Jesus Christ. He is the temple of our God. And we see that in the Scriptures as we look at John 1:4 as an example. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word dwelt among us. That word dwell there literally means to tabernacle among us. Jesus is the living tabernacle. He is the living temple of God. And He actually goes on in chapter 2 and verse 19, and as He answers the Pharisees, says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, what was He referring to? He was referring to His body. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus is the true and right temple, and we worship and bow down to Him. And though Jesus is our heavenly temple, he's made us to be his earthly temple. He's made you and I as the church to be his earthly dwelling place. And we see that in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, from whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So did you see that? The whole building, that is, you and I together, are growing into a holy temple. The Lord understands and has created you and me together as his church, as a building, and we are growing together as a holy temple. The Lord indwells his people. He indwells us. You are being built together into a dwelling of God. And it's for this reason that it is right that we should long to be together for worship. And it's this reason that togetherness of the church is so vitally important. And as we said at the beginning of this, it's this reason why we would never move to what is a virtual church, because there is no such thing. We long to be together for worship because together we're the dwelling place of the Lord. He inhabits our praise. We long to be together, and I'm confident. I know in my own soul, even this morning as I'm here without you, man, I'm already missing you. I miss you. I miss this gathering. I miss what it means to be here together worshiping. And I am absolutely confident that you're missing that too. And I believe that the Lord is at work, stirring in our souls this deeper longing and desire for this so important measure of gathering together, this means of grace that God has given to us. So what is our resolution of faith in this regard? In a world filled with worthless gods, we resolve to help one another put away idols and worship the one true God. In this time especially, there will be great opportunity for us to come alongside of one another and with gentleness and with compassion and with mercy, help to identify and put away the idols of our lives and to turn our hearts in genuine worship to the one true God who is most manifest in his Son, Jesus Christ. So resolve by faith in the face of fear, saying, I will give thanks, and saying, I will worship, and finally saying, I will pray. I will pray. Verse 3 says, on the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. On the day I called, I believe David was resolved in his heart to pray. Consistently throughout the Psalms, he says, I called on you, I cried out to you. David was a praying man. He was resolved to pray. He was resolved to call out to the Lord. And we should resolve our in our own hearts to do the same. We're resolved to pray with confidence. We're resolved to pray with faith, the confidence that comes out of faith. And we see his confidence. He says, on the day I called, you answered me. The Lord answered David, and we can look back on David's life from our perspective now, and we can see how God delivered him from his enemies, how he rescued him, and how he preserved his soul through all kinds of troubles. He even preserved David through his own sin. And that should give us great faith that when we call out to God, he'll answer us. Call out to him. Call out to him in confidence, believing that he hears you. Jesus right now is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit indwells you and is interceding in you right now, pleading with the Father on your behalf in words that you don't even know, because he knows what you need more than you, and he's answering you. Resolve in your heart to pray with faith and in confidence. So resolve to pray with confidence, and we're resolved to pray for strength of soul. This is the content of our prayer. Oh God, strengthen my soul in all that it would mean for my soul to be strengthened. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength. Or as the ESV says, as we'll see in a minute, you increased my strength. You made me bold, and this is a time where we need boldness, where we need courage, where we need to stand together and resist the pressures of this world, to resist the fears that will come. Prayer ushers us into the presence of God. It gives us an ability to lay out our petitions, our cries, our concerns to this great God who cares for us. Pray that he would strengthen your soul. He made me bold with strength in my soul. Listen, there's going to be great temptation for us to pray now for the temporal values of this world, to pray for a vaccination, to pray for a cure, to pray for a quick dissipation, to pray for a recovery of the markets, to pray for jobs, to pray for food, to pray for medical care. And all of those things are good to pray for. All of those things we should pray for. But the things that we should pray for most is for strength in our soul. The strength you need most now is not physical strength, but strength of soul. And it is God himself who promises to answer you and to strengthen your soul. And he strengthens it by strengthening your faith in him, by exercising the means of the grace that he's given to you. If there's ever been a time for us to be in his word, hearing his promises, giving thanks as we meditate on them, if there's ever a time to worship in singing, but worship in his word and meditation on his promises, it's now. And it's through those means that he'll strengthen your soul and faith. Psalm 138:3 verse in the ESV says this, "On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased." And I can tell you, as I have come to the Lord in this psalm, and this verse especially, God has been so gracious to me. He's been so gracious to strengthen my faith, to encourage me in my soul. And I'm confident that he is doing and will do that for you as well. So it's the resolution of faith here that we make. In a world filled with fear, we resolve to help one another pray fervently in faith, believing that God will answer. And it strikes me that at our elder retreat earlier this year, one of the things that we talked about is leading our congregation to more visible signs of fervent prayer. Well, I think God is answering. In times like this, we pray. We should pray always, but we're weak, and we understand that, but these are times when we will pray. Let's help one another to pray. Let's help one another to pray fervently in faith, believing that God will answer. Use whatever means you have to help one another pray. Use FaceTime. Use video conferencing. Use Zoom or whatever it is that you have access to meet in groups of two or three or more, to pray together, to worship together, to sing together. Here are a few concluding thoughts as we wrap up this time. First, thanksgiving to God is one of the great weapons we've been given to combat fear. The Lord has given us amazing means of grace. He's given us amazing weapons to fight against the enemy. But one of the great weapons that he's given us is thanksgiving. If you imagine a quiver of arrows on your back, a quiver that's filled with weaponry that you can use against the attacks of Satan, one of those great arrows that you can pull out in the face of fear is thanksgiving. Don't forget that. Give thanks to God. Do it verbally. Do it out loud. Do it with one another. Secondly, worship will be salve to your soul in times of worry and distress. Worship. It'll be that ointment that you massage into your very inner being in times of trouble, in times of worry and distress. Worship the Lord on your own. Worship with others. Worship with your family. Worship the Lord. And finally, prayer is you coming into the presence of God, knowing that he is always present with you. You have this amazing gift given to you where you have been invited into the very presence of God in a very unique way that helps you to come into his presence, knowing that he is already there with you. He's already present. So I want to encourage you, give thanks to the Lord. worship him, pray, and let's be a people who help one another to do these things and to resolve by faith to face down these fears together. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've given us your truth. You've given us your word. You've given us all of the help that we need, every resource available. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we pray to you now. Lord, I lift up everyone listening to this. And Lord, may they resolve in their hearts in these difficult times to be obedient to you, to love their neighbor, to love their family, to love one another, and to do everything they can to come alongside of each other, resolved to fight off these fears with faith. Lord, we know that ultimately you're the only one that can strengthen the soul. Lord, we cry out to you now. We call out to you. Strengthen our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we talked about singing a minute ago, I thought it would be appropriate to have Sarah and Kaylee come back up and for us together, apart, to sing again, O Worship the King. And so wherever you are right now, I would encourage you, join with us. If you're alone, that's fine. If you're together as a family, get the kids together if they've stepped away. And let's sing, O Worship the King, together. Again, normally I'd ask you to stand for the benediction, but if you'd like, you can stand where you are, I guess. That would be all right, but I just want to send us off with the benediction that Aaron used in Numbers chapter 6. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Let's follow in this resolution to faith. Let's be the church. Let's continue in the mission of making disciples. Let's be a church who, in every way possible now, reaches out to our neighbors, to our community, and declares and displays the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And let the face of Christ shine on them as he shines on you. Let's go now in peace as we conclude this service.